A&M going over to Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Play a little football.
Yes, sir.
Over in Shreveport.
Oh, boy. There you are.
It's going to be a good time. If you gotta, le bon temps brûlé.
Yeah. If you got to be in...
Louisiana. Maybe it's laissez. I don't know.
It is. It's laissez le bon temps brûlé. Yes, sir. Little French stuff.
So, listen, y'all being highfalutin this morning on a Friday.
No, excuse me. We're talking like Cajuns. There's nothing. Cajuns. There's nothing. There's yes, nothing y'all. Highfalutin about a Cajun.
Aye.
That's all. Just saying.
Ooh, I love you like a pig love corn.
When they were building the loop around New Orleans, they had a problem because all they would do is they would put up barricades. It'd say road closed, and you know they had not completed the loop. It was elevated, and you know they would get it built as far as they could, and they'd put the barricade up. But, you know, Cajuns never understood the need for a barricade. And, you know, they just kept riding. And at least once a month, somebody would ride off the end of the elevator.
You're kidding me.
Yep. No, had a friend who lived in New Orleans, told me that story.
Holy cow.
Just, you know, they come in from the swamps, and they don't know about that kind of stuff. They're different. I mean, they give you the shirt off their back. They're good people. It's just, well, you know. We've what is that Gator Hunter or whatever that thing's called? There's some reality show with.
I know a pediatrician who is Cajun.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that.
And her
all
husband's
crazy.
An engineer, and well, he's also Cajun.
So you know, it happens.
But, it's like saying somebody's from Baylor.
Yeah. It doesn't mean all of them. It just means there's a goodly number, and it's a safe bet.
Yeah, down in the swamps of Baylor.
Yeah,
there are Jerusalem on the Brazos.
You know it. There are two things that you can say about last night's presidential debate. It was lively.
Yes, it was.
It was lively, and each side this morning is saying that their guy won.
Yes, they did.
So I didn't get to see it all. I got to see some of it, and then I got to hear some of it, and that was kind of interesting. Again, to be able to hear it and not see it.
Did you see the Krauthammer quote on that?
No, I did not.
It's interesting you bring that up because Krauthammer said if you were watching it, clearly Paul Ryan won. If you were listening to it. Clearly, Biden won.
Yeah.
If you read the transcript of it, it was a dead heat.
Interesting. Well, I thought, again, for the second debate in a row, the moderator did not do a good job.
No.
In fact, she didn't. They took a count. I guess they probably went back after they realized that Joe Biden was going to interrupt Paul Ryan as much as he could, that he apparently interrupted Ryan 82 times. During the 90 minutes, which is a lot.
That's rude.
But she interrupted him as well.
With a lot of follow-up questions,
yeah.
Or was that just me?
It was. There were a lot of follow-up questions for him. And I thought what Biden did a good job of was taking, because you can hear a politician when they get in gear, when they get in sync, then they get into their little patter, and it becomes a lot smoother. They kind of wander. You heard it happen for Obama a couple of times during his a debate.
Much like this show.
Exactly, right. Just kind of wandering around, and then you hit a track and you go for a while. And that's what I thought he was going to do when it got to the Ryan tax plan. But the deal is Biden did such a good job of interrupting him that there was no consistency and there was no flow as Ryan was trying to put together his idea, which he knows a lot about, obviously, and can really speak to. But, yeah, there were reasons for both sides to probably think that their guy did okay. But the problem with Biden, I mean, he laughed, he shook his head, he looked down, he crossed his arms, he did everything he could to be pretty much disrespectful, I thought.
I would agree with that.
Of Paul Ryan. And, again, there's an age difference. He's 69 and Ryan's 42. But nonetheless,
it's not that big of a difference.
Well, I mean, and when you're talking about politicians, it can be. That's a different generation right there. And so from that standpoint, here's a guy who's been in the arena. I don't know. He probably was elected before, maybe not, but close to when Ryan was born, this guy started holding elective office. So it was kind of interesting. I didn't think that because he's 69 years old that Biden necessarily made any points that were that clear, but I think he just disrupted Ryan a lot. And I think that
I'd
made
agree
a lot
with
of
that
difference.
Too.
I did hear, the guy on Fox who does polls afterwards with the audience, and I forget what his name is, but nobody changed their mind.
Oh, yeah, the independent voters?
Yeah. Nobody changed their mind. So kind of interesting. A CBS instant poll, they did 500 uncommitted voters in theirs. 50% thought that one guy had won the debate, and 31% thought the other guy had won the debate. Then the CNN, they had 381 registered voters. They gave the other guy the win as opposed to the first guy in the first poll. So, again, whatever poll you want to come up with, you can find who won this.
So is this more of that guy? Are these new that guys?
Well, no, one poll. Well, I mean, one poll has that guy winning, but the other poll has that guy over there winning. So, again.
But these are completely different guys than we were talking about before.
Yeah, no, these are the secondary guys.
Okay.
Yeah, not the first-dairy guys.
Just want to clarify that.
Right, yeah. Now, before the debate, far more people thought that one guy was going to win, like Ryan, by 42-14. I don't know why they thought
that. Really?
And I don't know why they thought that. I had no reason to think that that would be true. I mean, I'm guessing that Biden's been in a debate or two.
What I want to know, Scott, is did you get to take any shots last night?
Oh, no.
If you did every time Biden said, my friend, you'd have been alcohol poisoned.
You know, I was saying that to my wife. You know, they when he says my friend, he actually means something else completely. If you can think of a really bad thing you want to say about somebody who you don't like, if you just plug in that phrase rather than my friend. Because that's what always happens when a politician gets on those talk shows. Well, you know, my good friend such and such, which really means, you know, you're the dregs of the coffee cup. But if you and again, that makes it a lot more entertaining, too. If you have
lots of shots.
No, if you have Joe saying those nasty words in your ear, you know, even, you know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, Joe didn't really mean that. He didn't mean that Paul Ryan's his good friend because he's really not. But which of the candidates can you relate to? Now, this was rather interesting. Before the debate, 34% said they related to one guy. That went to 55% when the debate was over. And then another one was the other guy, and it went from 31-48. So both of them did a good job of probably increasing their relatability. So that's, I would think, is a good thing. I was a little surprised that they started right off on the Benghazi thing. I mean, she jumped right into that almost immediately. And again, I think that the administration threw the State Department under the bus one more time on this deal, saying, well, you know, we're just going with what they told us, and so there we go. And one final thing as we talk about polls. Suffolk University does a poll every year, or every presidential year. Their pollster has declared he is no longer going to take polls in North Carolina, Virginia, or Florida. He says that all those states have already been decided. So Florida, North Carolina, and Virginia, they will no longer poll there. They'll instead turn their attention to states that are still in play, because he says one guy has already won all three of those states. And again, it doesn't matter which one it is, still election day. All right, 6:49.